ready to be heard. Telephone lines are open, so call now.
Welcome back to our second hour. I'm Paul Kutu. We have with us, as expected, because yesterday everybody got a slap upside the head. What happened? Well, the governor said, hey, we might not even give you the last 25% that we promised you. We already took away 75% of what we promised you, but nah, what the heck. We need to keep that budget balanced. And this is the way, I'm not playing partisan politics here. This is essentially what he said. We're going to balance our state budget. And we're not giving any money to the hospitals. So, you know, things, and fortunately, the public information people from the hospital called us. They sent us a press release. Mr. Smanek wants to come in, and he is here. Bob Smanek, CEO of Dade Campbell Hospital. Bob, nice to have you back.
Good morning, Paul.
And Dr. John Graham, who's the chief medical officer at Dade Campbell Hospital. These actions raise a lot of very serious questions as to what's going to happen now.
Yeah, it's really even difficult to explain the magnitude, the suddenness of this, and the absolute dire, in a sense, repercussions, because it's coming on the heels of multiple years of reductions.
It's one thing to me, and I can see this as a precedent that could sweep away schools. You know, all of a sudden, hey, we're not going to give you this kind of money or that kind of money. When that precedent starts, it's one thing when you have advance notice, but you guys get ambushed on this.
Correct. And I think it's important to remind the listeners that, you know, this all began back in February when the budget's first produced. The time from February to the end of June is when our legislative officials work with the recommended budget from the governor's office and come up with a completed budget, which, you know, took to the end of June this year. There was a lot of hard work by our legislators, and before the first quarter's up now, much of what was worked on to help restore funding, particularly to the smaller community hospitals, gets erased.
I heard the governor say this morning, the hospitals are making 900, we have 29 hospitals in Connecticut, 26 of them are making $916 million in profit. That means that three aren't. Are you one of the three?
Well, I haven't looked specifically at what he's referencing. One of the challenges, though, we have, and again, I beg the kind of the focus of the listeners, is I believe the governor's referencing a report that hospitals make to the Office of Healthcare Access. One of the challenges is that report is not, in a sense, uniformly defined. For Dade Campbell, we always report our total consolidated financials at year end. And as you all are aware, we have a significant investment in ensuring, supporting physicians in our community on behalf of the community. Some of those costs could actually be recorded directly into the hospital as opposed to our medical foundation. So at the end of the day, it's a bit disingenuous to look at Dade Campbell and say, well, the hospital's doing fine. We've arranged it this way so that we can better manage it. Our amount of subsidies that, quote unquote, that go into any physician practices has declined as a result. So we're sort of getting hit on both sides with this.
Is the hospital awash in red ink?
Yes.
It is.
We've been losing money, as we've reported, the last 3 years, or last 2 years. This year, we've been turning that around until this final quarter when this hits again.
Now, you were, let's go back to the beginning of the budget. You were promised $5 million?
Well, here's what happened. If we use the beginning of the budget, so let's say February timeframe, the tax to the hospitals increased at the end of, you know, the cycle implementing this new budget on both our inpatient work and outpatient work. But given that we're a smaller community hospital, most of what we do are for patients that don't spend overnight with us in an inpatient category. So the tax on the outpatient side almost doubled. It went from 3.8 to 6%. The inpatient went from 5.5 to 6%. So our tax went up $2 million beginning with this new budget cycle.
I thought the Dan Campbell was a nonprofit. They tax nonprofits.
Yes, that's a whole other side note on this. So there is a tax. Now, throughout the years, there has been a return to us. We call it in the industry a supplement payment back from the state. And so to a certain extent, this was set up, as your listeners have heard, it was a tax on hospitals, state collects the money, reshuffles, returns it, and then the state qualifies for more federal funding as a result of the process. Well, in the recent time, the amount returned to hospitals has decreased consistently. With the most with the budget, the amount given to Dave Kimball was going to stay relatively consistent with the increase in tax. About $2.5 million would come back to us on a 12-month basis against a $6 million tax, and then
again the third back. Roughly.
Correct. And then the other piece was we had that low cost hospital fund that, quite frankly, Senator Williams was instrumental in getting for us. The governor had taken that out as of his submission. The legislature put that back. So part of the challenge is what we had by way of additional monies to help offset gets put in question.
I'm trying to follow.
Right.
So your tax, they then take the money the state does.
Right.
And then they apply to the federal government.
And they get more money.
Are they giving it back to the hospitals?
No.
They're using it to balance the budget.
Correct. Correct.
Oh, my. The plot thickens. Okay.
I'd want to point out in this is from January or February time period forward, what we don't talk about readily, we have had 7 rate reductions to Medicaid payments in addition to all of this. So as an example, work we do for Medicaid patients in our laboratory, that got reduced 20%. Our obstetricians who deliver babies, their professional income got reduced $75,000 in this year. So there are, in addition to this, other cuts that have happened.
Obstetricians also have a very high rate of insurance.
Correct.
The
only way we have an obstetrical program in Northeast Connecticut is because the hospital has agreed to employ these physicians to help stabilize them, pay them just competitive rates. It's not anything exorbitant here. And we have ensured a very high quality and accessible obstetrical service.
Correct me if I'm wrong also. The state increased and the federal government increased and the state the amount of people eligible for Medicaid.
Yes.
Is for the poor.
One of the other challenges.
And now so you're going to get more patients,
right,
and they cut the fee.
Well, here we were just reviewing through August. Now, our business year is from October through September, so 11 months. Our Medicaid patient volume at the hospital has increased 31% over what we had planned. And the outpatient volume has increased 18%. When we do the math on what we get paid for service on the outpatient side, it's 25 cents on the dollar.
I got to ask an uncomfortable question because it's out there. You've heard it. I've heard it. Everybody's heard it.
Yep.
I'm going to ask it this way.
Okay.
If you took every penny that's being paid in administrative cost in the hospital, everybody just worked for free.
Right.
Would that solve the problem?
Of course not.
Of course not.
The other piece I'd also like to remind, because Northeast Connecticut, you know, our board is a community board. Back in January of this year, with senior management, not only did we agree that we would not be eligible for what is typically a general 2% increase, and that's all our employees have gotten over the years, we would not this year, but we voluntarily took a 10% reduction in our income. So we want to end in, as time has gone on, we've had vacancies at the senior management level that we haven't filled. So we'll want to convey the message and back it up with action that we're in this together and we're attempting to provide exquisite quality, and I think we have examples of that, at a very appropriate and well-managed rate.
Dr. Graham, you got into medicine, obviously, because you wanted to make people well. And, you know, you had the skill to do it and the brains to do it, and you've been practicing medicine. And now you find yourself as a physician in the middle of all this administrivia and politics and, you know, money goes here to balance budgets and takes away from what you're trying to do. What is the danger as a physician, as you see it, that the hospital faces with all of these cuts as far as services are concerned?
Well, I think it is a dangerous situation. Fortunately, Our physicians have been very loyal to our community. They have stuck by Day Kimball Hospital and stuck by our community throughout all of these cuts. And it affects physicians in so many ways. It affects the hospital where they bring their patients to for care, but it also affects them in private practice to the point that they actually need it to come on board with Day Kimball healthcare system in order to survive. Quite frankly, that is exactly the reason why we have medical group today. It was some of the outside forces of decreased reimbursement rates, and we're one of the lowest, if not the lowest, reimbursement rate in the state of Connecticut. So it's not the old-fashioned, well, doctors are very comfortable and have an easy life. It's not that way at all. Their costs continue to rise like any other business, but their reimbursements for what they did and still do continue to drop. And at some point, it reaches that critical point where you can no longer do your business.
As an individual doctor, if you ran your own practice, you have to have somebody to do this insurance. That's almost a full-time job. And then a receptionist, booking appointments, et cetera. You've got to have maintenance of your building. You've got to probably have a nurse. And by the time you get finished with all this, you're having trouble maintaining as cuts come along. Now, you pick them up as a hospital, as doctors, so they no longer have to run their own private practice. But now you're having trouble maintaining your practice within a group because of the cuts. The cuts are actually starting to have a great impact on even the viability of a hospital in a hospital group.
Absolutely. And it's well known throughout the industry, once you bring physicians into a medical group, it's going to be a loss for that hospital system. Fortunately, through leadership with Mr. Bob Kleinbauer and our physicians cooperating, we've been able to manage a lot of these cuts over time. But you still need a subsidy. Everyone recognizes a subsidy is needed in order to support a medical group.
I'm really curious, as I look at the state as a whole, I see monies going out for various projects. But I guess from the way I look at things, the wellness of a region depends on healthcare, and healthcare depends on the hospital. There isn't another hospital in Connecticut within 30 miles of us. It isn't a given that this hospital will stay there forever. I mean, we hope it does. We built this hospital on contributions. To have it disappear would be a great tragedy.
I agree, Paul. And quite frankly, we're seeing smaller community hospitals, in fact, not be able to be sustained. So I think the risk is very real. The other piece I would join in the voices of all 90,000 of us in Northeast Connecticut, we have to be loud. We have to support our legislators. We need to have attention. And unfortunately, in Hartford, it appears that, Northeast Connecticut continues to suffer from being far away and small in number.
All right. Rather, we certainly the problem is understandable. I guess the solution is a little less understandable because I think that's really what do we need to do? I mean, obviously people need to pay attention, but what do we need to do? What plan would work? Because this isn't working.
Well, it is so unprecedented. It's hard to point in one direction. So I guess what I'd like to do is just again quickly review what has happened, and then I think it's voicing our concern and our dismay. Our budget year ended September 30. The state budget year began July 1. From July 1 to September 30, what was in the state budget and expected, promised, has not been paid, in our understanding from the state up until now at least, is they haven't signaled that they're going to pay it. That's $1.5 million that was expected to come to Day Kimball that just came right off the books. Beginning October, going to the end of our fiscal year, which would be next September, it'll be the start of the state fiscal year, if we take the cuts the governor has put in place, $5.6 million in combination of supplemental and small hospital payments disappeared. And I need to remind everyone, our tax went up $2 million. So that's almost $8 million in additional burden with the stroke of a pen that now is faced in our community. That just can't be sustained. We will make tough changes and choices at the hospital, but we need everyone in the community to say, this has got to stop.
I'm a retired teacher, as most of the listeners know, and teaching is a people-intensive activity, as is medicine. I mean, you can have a hospital building like you can have a school building, but it takes the people to make it happen.
Right.
It's pretty obvious to me as a teacher as time's gone along that, you know, teachers have been cut and teacher aides have been cut and programs have been cut.
Right.
Are you looking at the same thing? It seems to me you would be.
And I shudder to even acknowledge, because our employees have given up so much. Look, the defined pension plan was frozen in 2008. They gave up a wage increase in 2010. We went to a high deductible health plan. Over the course of the last 12 to 18 months, we have pared down our staff by 100 FTEs, and we're still facing these challenges. So you're right. It involves employees, and it involves services.
Now, the group that you were talking to that's on hold right now, the Hartford Health Group, they were also looking at over 300 layoffs within their group.
Right. They announced those this summer, and again, that predated now this most recent round of cuts. So, I don't speak on their behalf. They obviously can do that on their own. But, you know, what happens when it's of this magnitude is everybody has to take a step back and reevaluate their plans. Again, just as a reminder to the listeners, all hospitals were going into their board meetings in September, putting together a business plan beginning October 1. On September 18th, when something of this magnitude is layered in, it disrupts everybody's plan.
I kind of come from around here, so tend to ask questions in a rather direct manner. I mean, they're making cuts at a higher level. They were going to lose $50-something million.
Correct.
55, I think, was the number that came into my mind.
All right.
$55 million. You become at that point in time, you said earlier, right, we're awash in red ink right now.
Right.
Where we're getting cut, and there's nothing coming back in,
right,
to make that up, that amount of money up. Are you an attractive partner for anybody when they're already bleeding cash and now you're already awash in red ink? Is that a good partnership for anybody?
It clearly doesn't help when in this circumstance. What we represent, and to the credit again of this community and our employees and physicians, is we are continually recognized as a high quality organization that has been willing to face our challenges as we have encountered them. However, you know, in the last 12 months, remember the decision and the impact that tenant we refer to in February, that regulatory decision, everybody back on their heels. Now this unanticipated significant cut. Unfortunately, when we're talking affiliation, it really does come often to a business discussion. And anything that detracts from your stability, your ability to be attractive, is noted and is a factor from the other party. We are not giving up at Dade Kimball. We are not giving up on Northeast Connecticut, and we will figure our way through this. But truthfully, every step along the way, the state has made it tougher for us to get this accomplished.
I mean, they essentially said it yesterday, where we just took these huge cuts from the state, so we have to suspend discussions with Dade Kimball because we already got more debt than we can handle.
Well, and what they said to us is they suspended any view of new capital expenditures at the moment,
right,
until, and, you know, again, and two nonprofits coming together, it's not one is buying the other. It would be a merger. And our board wants to ensure that if we're going to partner that way, that there's a commitment from the system to invest in our community. And so when a Hartford says they can't make that promise today because of what's happened, that's a significant element that has to be recognized.
And if it happened to them, it happened to every other health group as well within their capacity to absorb it.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the cuts, unfortunately, though, the one thing that has really happened this time is that small hospital fund, which is not big dollars on a $20 billion budget, but the impact on those of us that are small community hospitals is enormous.
You think the governor truly understands the scope of this problem? I know you're not going to send him a Christmas card. But.
when I talk to our representatives across the board, they all say, "Gosh, it just somehow it's not the message isn't getting heard."
Well, he may be looking at certain other hospitals, right. Which are but well, maybe he doesn't understand.
Well, we're all getting painted with that same brush, and I agree. I think there is a difference here, and we're not looking for an easy way out. We're just looking for an appreciation of what it means for healthcare in Northeast Connecticut.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
Lisa Sarant is an RN in the Killingly Public School System, and when she had a total knee replacement, she chose Matulitis for her short-term rehab.
It was a wonderful choice. The physical therapists were wonderful. I got physical therapy twice a day. The staff was very, very caring. They treat you like you're one of the family, like you're a loved one. Very attentive to pain management, making me comfortable, supporting me through the whole process, and giving me the tools so when I went home, I could continue my physical therapy and the pain management. Every single person there, right down to the housekeeping, are very caring people. It was a very good experience. When I have my second knee replacement, I will go back there. I would highly recommend going to Matulitis.
Quality, excellence, and caring is the promise to you and your family from Matulitis. Pre-book your private suite today by calling Matulitis at 963-0245 and see them online at matulitisnh.org.
Hi, this is Dick Loomis with an invitation for you to join the Remember When crew every Friday morning at 8:20. We have a lot of fun as we test your memory and ours too while we talk about our local history in Northeast Connecticut. We always have a few laughs and welcome your phone calls. Join us this Friday morning.
Remember When is brought to you by Dick Loomis, Roger Mercier, and Lynn Tedeschi Converse, the Loomis team. Expect more, get more at RE/MAX Bell Park Realty, 25 Providence Street, Putnam. Call 860-928-7991.
Over 100 floats, nearly 20,000 spectators. It's the Holiday Dazzle Light Parade, a Northeastern Connecticut tradition. This year, the Holiday Dazzle Light Parade is Sunday, November 29th at 5 p.m. in downtown Putnam. Entry forms are available now at WINY, 45 Pomfret Street, Putnam, and at the Putnam Town Hall. You may download entry forms at WINYradio.com. Make plans now to join us as we celebrate 14 years of the Holiday Dazzle Light Parade, Sunday, November 29th at 5 p.m. in downtown Putnam.
My name is Steve Smock. I'm a Woodstock resident that has served on town boards and commissions, including as an alternate on the Board of Finance. In the past few weeks, I've seen some interesting letters regarding the repeal of Prop 46. One writer, actually a Board of Finance alternate, said that it would be easy to pay for sports again or to put teachers' assistants back in the classrooms and even more. Easy? Really? What would he suggest be cut to get these back? Teachers? Maybe nurses? Another citizen accused those in favor of repealing Prop 46 of being secretive and not publishing letters. It's interesting that his letter was surrounded by three letters from people who support repeal. Perhaps he meant we're secretive because our signs are being stolen or we're being shouted down at town meetings. We choose to stay positive and allow townspeople of Woodstock to have a full voice and a full vote. On Tuesday, October 6th, let's vote yes to regain our voice by voting yes to repeal Prop 46. I paid for this message to save our town's future.
Paid for by Steve Smock.
Hi, I'm Lois Brunage, Executive Director of the Last Green Valley National Heritage Corridor. We love the Airline Trail, and our team is ready to tackle the trail.
I'm Denny Gates, and the Gates Group is tackling the trail.
Hi, I'm Rona Free, the President of the University of St. Joseph in West Hartford, Connecticut, and we'll be ready to tackle the trail.
WINY is ready to tackle the trail. Well, not really, but we will broadcast live as we kick off this exciting 19-mile relay along the Airline Trail, all to benefit the QVCC Foundation. Our broadcast is powered by Jessica Tuesdays.
Hey, I'm Jess Jellison, QVCC, class of 1996, owner of Jessica Tuesdays and 2015 Tackle the Trail live broadcast sponsor. Join me and over 300 individuals and relay teams as we tackle the trail on Saturday, October 17th, 2015. Race begins in Pomfret and ends in Willimantic. Space is limited, so be sure to register today at qvcc.edu/tackle the trail. Get ready to tackle.
It's high school football on WI. Ryan Y, as myself and the coach Stu Neal are in the broadcast booth once again this Friday night as Quinebaug Valley Pride play host to Prince Tech. Last time we saw the Pride, they were at Ellis Tech. This time they're at the St. Marie Green Hall Sports Complex right here in Putnam, and airtime is set for 6:30 p.m. High school football on WINY is brought to you by Busquets Appliance, Girardi Insurance Services, CNB, a division of Bank ESB, King Cadillac GMC, Putnam Farmers Co-op, Day Kemble Healthcare, and Putnam Pride.
We're back with Day Kemble Hospital CEO Bob Spanik and Dr. John Graham, who was the chief medical officer at Day Kemble Hospital. And unfortunately, none of the news we've been talking about is good news. And frankly, this is an opinion we're talking about right now. Unfortunately, this is unvarnished fact. We are looking at some tough times. And I have to ask you probably the toughest question of all. And as somebody in charge, Dr. Graham is a medical person, and Mr. Spanik is a CEO. Can, in the long term, Day Kemble survive as an independent?
No. We have recognized at the board level that we need to be part of a larger system. What form, how that takes place is not determined, but we know remaining isolated or independent just for the sake of independence is not appropriate given healthcare environment as it is today.
The person who's not on the inside in medical information in the business of distributing medicine, the question that would they would say to you, well, what happened? What caused this? How come the hospital was always able to survive in the past? What's happened?
There has been a systematic reduction in what we're getting paid. The federal government on a number of fronts on new initiatives has either curtailed or are just outright reduced payments. And then the state, I can't overstate just how much we have absorbed in reduction since, I think, 2012. Each of these budget cycles, rate reductions, there's just been a wholesale reduction in what's being paid. The other side of that is more and more patients are receiving care outside of the hospital bed, and that's a good thing. That is a pressure on us. And the other is the need to invest in the changes, particularly information technology, as we want to be as accessible to patients as can be, patients demand, and that the patients have access to their information. So there's investment in the midst of delivery change, in the midst of significant funding reductions.
In plain English, they have made laws that they can't pay for.
Correct. We are dealing with expectations that aren't being matched with funding. And I don't discount that healthcare is expensive. I don't want to not acknowledge that, and work needs to be done, but the manner in which it is taking place is putting the whole system at jeopardy.
I'm sitting here. If anybody who's listening owns a business, you have got to be thinking to yourself, if I had these challenges in front of me, I'd be out of business. And yet, because you're a hospitalist, so is public need. You really can't even. Yeah, I mean, you might have to shut down at some time in the distant future, but hopefully, we'll have a hospital here.
Right. This board has been a very good steward of resources. There is, if one were to look at our financial statements, we still have some reserves. That's money to help us through these kind of times, but that's not an endless stream. We cannot avoid taking action with what we're facing. We take action. We have that as a bit of a reserve. We're still moving forward. But with each month, each year that this occurs, it sets us back and really does put us ultimately in jeopardy. And not only us as an entity, but the strain that it puts on everyone. And the pressure to affect their performance is always a worry.
All right, Dr. Graham, we'll go to you on that one. What you have pressures on you as a physician and your colleagues. Worst pressures, what are they?
Well, from a hospital point of view, as Bob has stated, there are pressures. In my world that I live in now, we have the ability to adjust quickly to a changing environment. So we as a hospital, as an example, we can look at what is happening from a budgetary point of view and adjust. So, and that's one advantage we have over the bigger systems, and we're going to take advantage of that. I think our staff at Dick Kimball Hospital has a rallying cry, quite frankly, and I hear it a lot, almost on a daily basis, especially lately, where, you know, our community cannot live without Dick Kimball Hospital. And in the recent past, we rallied around the pledge, and we were able to take that out to the community from the hospital, and fortunately, the community responded. And I think it's that sort of effort that I feel has to emanate from our hospital, shows like this to get the word out to say, we need help. We're asking our community to support us. And that support extends into the medical practices themselves, because it's been well recognized in our community and inside of our healthcare system that if you lose the physicians, you lose the feeder system that supports the hospital. So the physicians are so very important in this. We Bob, through his vision over the last 8 or 9 years that he's been here, you know, he's had the vision to say our docs need help. We'll provide support to them, and have extended a helping financial hand. Now we as a system are looking for help outside of ourselves now, because it continues to grow. And I think it affects every level of the healthcare system, including physicians, staff, and so on.
To that end, as a teacher, I always found that we did a better job in school when morale was high. And it must be very difficult to keep morale up in the face of what we're looking at today.
I think we have a staff that has been able to do that, to their credit. And I'll include the physicians in that, too. I think we are able to absorb these blows to the body. I don't see it as a knockout, but I do think we can adjust. And we've been able to do that over the last several years, as Bob has mentioned earlier. And I think we'll continue to do that.
Bob, are you satisfied with and have solid communications with our legislators locally?
Yes. I am on the phone with them almost daily now, or emailing with them. I know that they are working sort of on the surface and sort of, they say, behind the scenes, attempting to find what is an avenue to address this issue. Unfortunately, up till now at least, I'm not hearing where the opening may be. So it's hard to be optimistic, but I know that they are, they're fighting for us. The other piece I'd like to, if I could, just jump on what Dr. Graham had said. You know, we just recently, our staff received a national accreditation for our community cancer program. That was within the last month. We've done a lot of work, physicians, nurses, social workers, and all, to really elevate that program. I think if you go back month to month, there have been a number of citations and recommendations, accreditations that we've received. So I'd want the listeners to take heart in the fact that our employees have really continued to step up, as John said, and in spite of these challenges.
You've already lost staff at the Dick Kimball Hospital. I mean, there's now, there aren't as many employees there as there used to be.
Correct.
We've talked in the past, Bob, when you've been on the show, when I was doing it full time.
Right.
And you had to get lean and mean just to survive. And now, you don't want your hospital to look like you just escaped from a prison camp either. That's a little too lean and a little too mean.
No, we won't let that happen. I mean, we have a standard of work, a standard of quality, and we're not going to let that get fractured. On the other hand, when a person leaves, we evaluate that role very carefully to see, is there another way to address it?
I'm going to take a break, and then we got a couple of calls.
Okay.
At GEICO, we've been innovating car insurance for over 75 years with forward-thinking ideas like online quotes and the GEICO mobile app. And to prove it, we'll play one of our first radio commercials from 75 years ago.
By Jiminy, GEICO could save you money on your car insurance, which is what we'll be doing over 75 years from now. Who knows, maybe with some sort of application that's accessible on a futuristic handheld device. We'll call them online quotes.
See? Forward thinking.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years. And there's the team's mascot, a hawk named Gracie.
Marvelous creature.
She's flying down to the 50-yard line when she's turned and gone after a fan's popcorn.
Oh, gorgeous talons.
That fan does not want to let go. That is one persistent bird.
And angry, too.
There are thousands of ways into the complex healthcare system, including contact with birds. Wild.
That's got to hurt.
So majestic.
And UnitedHealthcare has ways to make the system simpler, like an urgent care locator to find the closest clinic. Learn more at uhc.com.
Brooklyn Parks and Recreation presents Spooky Nights for two nights only, Friday, October 16th and Saturday, October 17th at the Brooklyn Fairgrounds. Spooky Nights is a hay wagon ride through a series of haunted scenes at the Brooklyn Fairgrounds. The Spooky Nights wagon ride departs at 6:15 p.m., 7 p.m., 7:45 p.m., and 8:30 p.m. After the wagon ride, enjoy the bonfire, face painting, Mr. Magic, a DJ, and a not-so-scary land for the kids. Plus, great food including Butts Roast Beef, kettle corn, and more. Advance tickets for Spooky Nights are $10 each and available at WINY, Hank's Restaurant, Hermy TV and Appliance, Danielson Surplus Sales, the Courthouse Bar and Grill, and the Brooklyn Parks and Recreation Department. Tickets are $12 at the gate, but don't wait until the last minute. Get your tickets now. This event will sell out. Hurry, get your tickets now for Spooky Nights, Friday and Saturday, October 16th and 17th at the Brooklyn Fairgrounds. Spooky Nights is produced by the Brooklyn Parks and Recreation Department.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
I say, you are bet up. What's the matter, my sweet?
I'm not your sweet.
Come now. We've got something in common, you and I. Rogues and murderers can't fall out.
Rogues and murderers? Two corpses in the house and 10 people accused of murder.
Okay. You don't like the company of rogues and murderers. I'll go and finish searching.
10 people are invited to an isolated island, only to find that an unseen person is killing them, one by one. Agatha Christie's classic, And Then There Were None, is now playing at the Bradley Playhouse through October 25th. Shows are Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. Tickets are on sale now, just $19 for adults and $15 for seniors. Order online at thebradleyplayhouse.org or charge by phone at 928-7887. Don't miss And Then There Were None. Now playing at the Bradley Playhouse in Putnam.
Go see what's going on at WINYRadio.com. There's always something to do, always something to see. So go see what's going on at WINYRadio.com. Log on and see why we're the voice of the community. Go see what's going on at
At TIAA Cref, our record sounds like a broken record. We got impressive results in 2013. And 2014? Same thing. We're like, hey, weren't we just here? Then 2015, boom, more impressive results. That's the kind of record you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Intelligent investing, powerful results. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA Cref Individual and Institutional Services, LLC. Investing involves risk.
I like things easy peasy. So when I need a few things, I go to Walgreens. Mostly because schlepping my way through five aisles at the grocery store when all I want is milk isn't my idea of a good time. Good thing Walgreens has short lines and easy parking so I can pop in for milk, paper towels, toothpaste, and more. Easiest errand ever. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Now with card, find great deals like Oreo cookies for $2.99 and select nice brand bath tissue and paper towels for $4.99.
Can you remember the last time you purchased a vehicle and left the yard smiling? Well, you must have been at King Cadillac and GMC in Putnam. Hi, this is Jerry Vian. We offer nothing but the best, sales and service after the sale. That's called the Royal Treatment. You can only get this at the King. Fantastic pricing on new and used, great rebates and financing, and top dollar for your trade. King Sales Department has over 100 years of experience, and service has over 80 years experience. Stop by and check out our lineup of new Cadillacs and GMCs and our great selection of pre-owned vehicles. With rates as low as 0% on new and low finance rates on used, it's a great time to buy a new vehicle from King Cadillac and GMC. We are only minutes from your home, whether it be in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, or Connecticut. King Cadillac GMC, 139 Pomfret Street in Putnam, wants to earn your business. So stop by and see the pros, and you too will drive away smiling.
Call 928-KING and see them online anytime at kingcad.com.
The Reminder Community News delivered every Friday to your doorstep. Jam-packed with community news, classified bargains, valuable flyers, and unique features. The Reminder makes certain that you, our reader, read something new, something different, and always something interesting. See what's going on now in your community? The Reminder Community News. We work hard for our community. We work hard for you. Call our offices for your classified ad today at 860-870-3004 or visit ReminderNews.com.
The Center for Bone and Joint Care, the best care right here, presents Redmond Roundup every Wednesday morning at 7:25 on WINY. Listen each week for news and updates from Killingly High School. We'll talk about the games, the scores, and the athletes at KHS. Don't miss Redmond Roundup every Wednesday morning at 7:25 on WINY, powered by the Center for Bone and Joint Care, Kennedy Drive in Putnam. See them online at BoneJointCare.com. The best care right here.
And we're back with Bob Spanik, CEO at Dave Kimball Hospital, and John Graham, Dr. John Graham, the Chief Medical Officer at Dave Kimball, and we're going to take a call. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello? Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can, sir.
Okay. Are you just talking about the medical issues there with the hospital?
Well, we're talking about the hospital in general and the challenges that everybody's facing right now.
Well, okay, because I'm just quick. Got a couple questions. Why did Washington cut some, benefits or money going to the
hospital? Subsidies,
to, Obamacare?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, so Obamacare is sort of affecting all this new situation where they're not getting the funds or something like that?
Well, I'll let Mr. Spanik speak to that. It's a little more complex than that, I think, but the effect at the hospital is pretty much the same.
Right. I think for us in Connecticut, what we have seen is because Connecticut had been fairly open in for enrollment for individuals who qualify for Medicaid and had a fairly generous opening for that, that we didn't see the number of new patients coming in with insurance as you do in some of the other states, particularly in the South and the West. But what we have seen is that folks who had been receiving coverage through their employer, particularly small employers, many of those are now moving over to be covered by the state in the Medicaid program under Obamacare. And then as the state has cut their payments to hospitals, it's sort of a double hit. More patients covered and less per activity that we are providing to the patient.
Yes, I disagree with that. Obamacare is not really, as they claim, it's supposed to be universal where people off the street could get help, but it seems like it's rising up the cost, I guess, in reverse. You
know? Well, they can get help. But the point is the state and the federal government are not reimbursing for the help that's given. You can't legally turn anybody down for help if they come into your hospital. But
yeah, what about the illegal aliens and the invaders coming in from the Middle East and the Syria and the Mexico? And they don't, won't they crash the system?
The word invaders is probably not the right word, but immigrants of any classification.
They're not immigrants. They didn't immigrate. What they are is illegal aliens and invaders.
All right. Well, now we're off the subject. We're going to have to move on. So I got another call. We're not going to call politics here. We're talking hospital stuff. Sorry. All right. Moving on. Good morning. You're on the air.
I was going to just talk about that.
Morning, Charlie.
How you doing? Great show.
Speak up, please.
I have to go to the hospital to get my voice.
There you go. You get a voice transplant, Charlie.
That's it. And Dave Kimball is the best place to get that. My question is, because of the legislature's involvement in outside companies coming into the state of Connecticut and taking over hospitals, how many potential partners are there for in the state for Dave Kimball Hospital to
partner with?
That's the word, partner with.
I can kind of speak to the landscape as I see it right now. I don't know that I say that, you know, I have it precisely, but obviously the larger institutions, we've had conversations with Hartford. Yale is partnering, as I think most recently there's an announcement of L&M St. Francis is now part of Trinity, a national company, and they've been active. I think Johnson Memorial is slated to come into that system, as well as St. Mary's in Waterbury. We've had conversations with UMass Medical Center in Massachusetts because of our close clinical affiliation with them. They've had some reservations about venturing into a new state such as Connecticut. There is a smaller network called the Value Hospital Network, or Value Care Network, I think is a formal name. Some of the smaller hospitals where St. Vincent's in Bridgeport and Danbury in Western Connecticut and Danbury are sort of the anchor institutions of that, but that involves Griffin Hospital in Derby, Middlesex Hospital, and I think L&M, although I suspect they'll be moving out of that into Yale.
So there are a number of potential partners.
Correct.
Some more likely than others, I imagine.
Yeah. And the do you expect any other cuts from the state, as depending on how much revenue come into the state?
You know, I shudder to even offer an opinion, because each time I think that there can't be more taken, something more seems to come off the table. So I honestly don't know. All I'm saying at this point is it is severe as it's impacting us.
Okay, Charlie.
Okay, very good.
Thanks for your questions.
Okay, bye.
I want to say one thing to listeners. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican or independent, whether you're a liberal or conservative or moderate, this is something, whether you're for a law or against the law, this is something that has nothing to do directly with that. This is something to do with decision-making at administrative levels within the political structure. And you know, Washington to Hartford to here. This is where the rubber meets the road. When you don't get something, and especially when you expect to get it and it's been promised, this is a very dangerous precedent to go down, because it can happen in healthcare. Well, maybe it can happen in other places too. If this is the way we're going to go, if this is the way we're going to deal with the problem, we're going to have chaos. Right now, you're talking to a doctor and a CEO of a hospital who are looking at, where do I go from here? And I can sense it by looking at you. We're trying to come up with solutions that right now don't exist. And this is going to be hard to sleep some nights.
That may be the understatement of the day, Paul.
I also like to add that politically, I think, is the answer. And I think we have to go at politicians, people that are making decisions, and basically change the vote. And that will speak volumes to those politicians. I think of the baby boomers out there and how great those numbers are. And I think people have to understand that healthcare is so very important. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. And I wonder when people are finally going to get fed up and start speaking up and so forth.
Doctor, I said the same thing yesterday, and I'll continue to say it every time I get a chance. We better start paying attention before it's too late to pay attention. And we're going to be saying, gee, what happened?
You
came in today on your own volition to try to make people understand. And I hope you'll come back often as these things develop, because people are frightened. I talked to a gentleman yesterday. He's like I am. He's afraid something's going to happen that we can't control.
We really appreciate having the opportunity to reach so many in our community through WINY and your program. The other piece I'd like to make sure to urge everyone is through our website, you can issue a letter of support and concern to the governor. We've not directed it towards our elected officials, because the last time we actually crashed their servers, they got the message. They're with us. This really needs to be a voice from Northeast Connecticut straight to the governor's office.
Well said, sir. And I wish you both the very, very best. This is disturbing. And
thank you, Paul.
I know that we have good people that are trying to solve the problem. And I hope the people of Northeastern Connecticut do wake up and pay attention. So thank you. We'll
thank
be
you.
Back.
Ha ha ha, happy anniversary.
Long Subaru in Webster is throwing a party, and you're invited. The Long family is celebrating 10 years in Webster on Saturday, October 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This will be a very special event with an arts and crafts show, live music, a community cookout, and free gifts for the first 50 guests. While you're there, check out the award-winning Subarus and find out why Kelley Blue Book named Subaru the most trusted brand with the lowest cost to own and best resale value for 2015. Have you heard about the Subaru EyeSight? It's like another set of eyes that will apply the brakes for you if there's a danger of collision. It also includes adaptive cruise control, sway warning, and more. If you'd like to try out this new feature, go to longsubaru.com or check out their Facebook page to register. Don't miss the Long Subaru 10-year anniversary celebration. It's Saturday from 10 to 2 at Long Subaru, 7 Sutton Road, Exit 2 off I-395 in Webster. Locally owned and community oriented.
Ah! Look at him. Every year he struggles with that old pool cover and those silly jugs. Hold on, Julie. I have to tell him that I already called Heritage Pools in Putnam and ordered one of those loop lock safety covers. You know, the one that holds the elephant. That one. It's the perfect system to keep our pool safe and clean through the winter.
What?
Oh, nothing.
Don't suffer through another closing. Call Heritage Pools in Putnam today and order your loop lock safety cover. 860-928-0118 in the Colonial Plaza, Liberty Highway in Putnam.
Over 100 floats, nearly 20,000 spectators. It's the Holiday Dazzle Light Parade, a Northeastern Connecticut tradition. This year, the Holiday Dazzle Light Parade is Sunday, November 29th at 5 p.m. in downtown Putnam. Entry forms are available now at WINY, 45 Pomfret Street, Putnam, and at the Putnam Town Hall. You may download entry forms at WINYradio.com. Make plans now to join us as we celebrate 14 years of the Holiday Dazzle Light Parade, Sunday, November 29th at 5 p.m. in downtown Putnam.
It's the Westview Connection. Join Gary O. and Westview Healthcare Center this Thursday morning after the 7:30 news for Westview Connection as they discuss the topics of the day that affect your health and well-being. Brought to you by Westview Healthcare Center.
Well, we're back for a few seconds. Again, I want to thank Bob Spanik, the CEO of Dave Kimball Hospital, for coming on. Dr. John Graham, the chief medical officer. The one thing I neglected, and I'm going to say this, if you guys had not taken on those doctors as Dave Kimball employees, Dr. Graham, what would have happened to them? Real quick.
They would have left. They would absolutely financially would have failed, and they would have left to a better area that reimburses doctors at a much higher premium.
So we'd have lost them.
We would have lost them, absolutely.
Dr. Graham, good luck to you. Good luck, Mr. Spanik, and good luck to all of the people at Dave Kimball Hospital.
Thank you, Paul.
With WYOY in Putnam, here's news.